Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Thank you so much for joining me today. So, my motivational quote is by William Durant, and he says, "Forget past mistakes, forget failures, forget everything except what you're going to do now, and do it." Mistakes, oversights, bad decisions, it happens to us every day. And they're actually necessary part of our growth. Rather than wallowing in regret, and we need to make an action plan for success and be able to do forward thinking planning. Sounds good, right, in theory. But what are the tools that we actually need to incorporate to help protect us from future mistakes? Well, today you're in luck for a great treat. We're going to speak with Ty Crandall, and Ty is an internationally known speaker, author, pod show host, and business credit expert. He has over 16 years of financial experience, and Ty is recognized as an authority in business credit building, business credit scoring, and business credit repair. Now, Ty is also the author of two popular books on credit named Perfect Credit and Business Credit Decoded. He is often interviewed on radio and news shows like this one, TV programs and magazines, including Entrepreneur, Inc., and Forbes, as well as the host of the popular podcast, The Business Credit and Finance Show. Ty currently serves as the CEO of Credit Suite, where he has helped create and grow the biggest and most credible business coaching operations in the United States. So please help me welcome Ty. And I think, Ty, this is your second time on the show, right?
I am. I'm a repeat offender.
Woohoo! We love repeat offenders. It's the way it works, right?
Connie, I'm concerned that bowl up there is going to fall on your head. It's like hanging off the edge up there, top left.
The bowl?
The behind you. Look up behind you, top left. Look at that. See, it's hanging off the edge. That thing could fall at any time. You have an earthquake, it's over.
New Jersey. We don't have earthquakes, dude. Where are you located?
I'm in Tampa, but you know, it worries me, so.
Well, Tampa, you know, the storm that's coming, right? Is it bypassing you guys?
Yeah. I texted my buddy because he always texts me, and I just said, "Hey, I hope you don't die in the hurricane." That's what I said to him. He said I was insensitive. I didn't think it was insensitive.
So bad, our friends, right? You're a riot.
But he laughed about it and said the same thing. He goes, "I've heard from friends I haven't heard from for years." I go, "I live in Florida. I know how that is. Every storm, like thousands of people start getting well wishes."
Hey, you're a loved man. That's not a bad thing, right?
Not completed, totally.
Why don't we jump in first, Ty? I do think people should go back and listen to our other show because we really deep dived about credit and all that kind of stuff and the differences between personal and business. But just a little refresher, can you tell everybody what exactly is business credit?
Sure. Yeah. Well, when we talk about business credit, we're talking about fundamentally credit for a business's EIN number that is based on the business's ability to pay, and it's not linked to the business owner. So the business owner has his or her credit profile linked to their social security number. They use it. They build the credit. They use it to get credit cards and loans and mortgages and auto financing. A business can do exactly the same thing. A business builds its own credit profile and score that's under its EIN, separate from the business owner's credit that's linked to their social, and they use that credit to get credit cards and auto financing and loans and mortgages and the same type of things that consumers use their consumer credit for, just doing it for the business.
And, you know, why does it seem that only big companies are the ones who get, you know, a suite of business credit cards for their sales teams and things like that?
Well, I think you brought up a brilliant point, and that's that what most people have this idea or this myth that bigger companies are the ones that get the credit. Mm-hmm. And it's true. And the reason is because the bigger companies get CFOs, they get bookkeepers, they get accountants, they get controller, financial controller. So what happens is as businesses naturally grow, they get financial savvy people that they have to bring into the organization at some point. Those people know what I'm talking to you about. So it's not that it's not available for small businesses. It's just there's this knowledge that is only tapped into by bigger businesses because the financial people that possess the knowledge aren't brought into those organizations at a small scale. They only come in when you're doing 10 million or plus. So business credit's available for anybody, but you're right. The bigger companies get it because these financial people come in and go, oh no, you need business credit. The owner says, what's that? And the CFO goes, I got this. Don't worry about it. And then they run with it and they build it.
So it's really important that the smaller businesses, you know, maybe having 20 people or under the 10 million in sales, this is really important information because we do need to be able to leverage, to be able to scale and grow our business. So
Sure. Now
are credit bureaus in the consumer world the same as the business world? Are they the same thing?
They're similar. You know, first of all, people, I think, are familiar with TransUnion, Equifax, Experian. But You have to keep in mind, there are thousands of credit bureaus that are out there. As a matter of fact, when one becomes big enough, the big three buy them up. So in the business world, there's a bunch. But the main ones in the United States are Equifax, Experian, and Dun & Bradstreet. Mm-hmm. And depending on the country you're in, Canada, Australia, some of them are bigger than others. But those are the three big reporting agencies in the United States. Equifax, Experian, we're used to on the consumer side.
Right.
Dun & Bradstreet, we're not used to. But they're the biggest reporting agency in the world, consumer or business. They are the biggest. And they've been around longer than any reporting agency as well.
So everybody should be familiar with their own personal credit report. So it is a little bit similar. So that's a good thing. Now, does it matter what type of entity or structure that I've built my business on? You know what I mean?
Sure. Well, a business could be a corporation, a partnership, an LLC. They could be any entity they want, even LLC, which isn't truly considered an entity. But the problem is that when you're a partnership or a sole proprietor, you are the business. You're one and the same. And I'm not giving legal advice. I'm not an attorney. Somebody should seek an attorney on this. But what it comes down to is that if you get sued, if the business gets sued, you get sued because you are the business. So at some point, you have to think about that. You have to want to separate the two. So, for example, as a sole proprietor, your business name isn't your name. Maybe you do a DBA to fix that. But the problem is when you're the business, you're the one that takes the hits. If the business ever gets sued, you get sued. So if you default on a credit card, even if you didn't personally guarantee it, if you are the business, well, then they can come after you and your assets the same as your business assets. If you want to create the separation of liability like Inc. and SBA and all these organizations say to do, that's when you have to get a corporation or even choose an LLC to limit your liability and separate you from the business.
Yeah, well, that just sounds smart, right? So they should go to their legal counsel and make sure before you start seeking credit or whatever that you're positioned properly so that you're not, you know, liable on the back end.
Like, sure.
That's real important. Now,
and it changes over time too. I mean, you know, some people, a sole proprietor makes sense when they get started. You know, some place like California, it's $600,000-$700,000 to set up a corporation. It's $70 in Florida. So it's easy for me to say, like, why doesn't everybody do this? But everybody doesn't have $1,000 to get it started out there. But, you know, sometimes you should revisit this because as your business grows, the entity you've chosen might not be a fit. You might outgrow that entity.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's really good advice, actually. Now, with business credit cards, are the credit issuers and credit limits similar to what we might see on the consumer world, or is it like a whole nother ballgame?
Well, rates are fairly similar, you know, and I've seen some studies in the past that rates are higher on business cards, and the studies now show rates lower on business cards. But limits are substantially higher in the business world. It's estimated per SBA that they're at least 10 to 100 times higher than what we're used to on the consumer side. So, you know, that means if you're used to a $1,000 limit, in our world, 10,000 plus is what the norm is. And it seems kind of crazy, but not really if you think about it. Like, you never are going to need to spend $10,000 at Dell on home computers, but you could easily blow that out of the water with business computers. I mean, so businesses, just one of the core components of credit is called capacity. And businesses have a much greater need for capacity than consumers do because businesses spend so much more money than consumers do. So that's part of the problem on why people are having such issues using their consumer credit to try to fund their business. And Connie, that's one of the biggest mistakes I see business owners make, right? They try to start a business, they think it's gonna cost them $5,000, Then they're like, I got credit cards. I'll just put it on my credit card. Then all of a sudden, they're at 15 grand spent. It's way more than they thought it was. They've maxed out their credit cards. 30% of their consumer credit score is what utilization they have. So what percentage of those credit cards they're using, they're maxed out. Their consumer credit score is tanked. And then they try to go to get money and nobody will give them money because they're maxed out. They can't get more consumer credit cards. They can't get business credit cards. So we see so many people follow this exact same failure cycle when business credit could have helped them right from the beginning. If they would stop using consumer credit for what it's not meant to do, which is fund a business, then they could keep it pristine and or keep improving it to make it pristine, use business credit for what they need, save their consumer credit for loans and credit lines and higher end kind of financing. That's the smart move.
Yeah, and you know, I think when someone starts a business, you know, we start small and obviously try to scale it over time. And I think what people think is, let me pay cash. Let me not leverage anything because I wanna be lean. And so we take this, I'll use my money, right, to fund it. And I know some people who have taken like home equity loans because they couldn't get a business loan to fund it, where business credit cards might have been enough for them to buy the equipment they need and what have you, and then make the payments on that. I guess I would think, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I would think I would choose to use a home equity because the rates are so much lower than that of a business or even my regular credit card, especially if I know I have to carry that balance for a while, right?
Well, I think it depends. I mean, fundamentally, what you're saying is I would leverage my home to start versus leveraging the business. And I think that that's a personal decision. You know, the way that I look at business credit, it, for me personally, I did that. And it was a mortgage business at the height of the mortgage industry, and the mortgage industry collapsed, right? So I've sat there on the front lines and done the right things to grow a business and had the business fail because of nothing to do within my control. I leveraged my house, I leveraged my credit, and the problem didn't occur until the business failed. Then all heck broke loose. They pushed me almost to the verge of personal bankruptcy. It was the only way out because they came after all my personal assets. They came after my personal credit. So I've lived firsthand, and I know that as a business owner now, I always leverage business and business assets first before I even think about personal assets. So the way that I look at business credit is business credit was fundamentally designed for a business to fund itself. And that's a question I ask myself is, would I want to fund a business that I could use the business to fund itself? If I can use the business to fund itself, why not? Why tap into where 75% of business owners are getting money from family and friends? Why tap into your personal bank account, your personal credit? Why tap into all the stuff if you don't have to? You may need that stuff, but reserve that stuff when you need it and use the stuff that's available, including business credit, that's readily available to get most of the money you need. So, Connie, what I tell clients is, you know, look, make a list of all the things you're going to need money for. First, develop a business plan. I know it's boring. Nobody wants to. But if you don't know your demographic, if you don't know how you're going to sell, if you don't know how much it's going to cost you to acquire a customer, if you haven't thought through these basics, it's going to be substantially more than you're estimating. Figure out what your plan is. Then figure out all you need to get that business off the ground. Start mapping out like a grocery list and then come up with what you really need. Because if you come up and say, look, I need 10 grand in office furniture and 10 grand in office computers and 10 grand in office supplies, well, you don't need $30,000 there. What you need is a $10,000 Staples credit card, a $10,000 IKEA credit card, and then you need a $10,000 Dell credit card. You can get all three of those within 60 days, 90 days. So you start the business concept, you're 60, 90 days getting $10,000, $20,000 limit credit cards that you're using to buy what you need. Then if you've done this, only 5% or 10% of what you think you need money for, you really need physical cash. You might need it for payroll or for an advertising campaign. Well, then you only need 5 grand from other people or 10 grand, and you have a much smaller amount you need to tap into your own assets, your own revolving credit, that of people around you, and you've still used the business to fund the majority of your expenses. That's still a smarter way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because people who start a business, they know, you know, they know how to make a pizza, right? So they're going to open a pizzeria. Or, you know, as a consultant, I know what I know when I get in front of my client. people don't think about the credit end of things out of the gate because they think I've been nest egging, I have enough money. So I just think it's counterintuitive to say leverage the business right out of the gate. And then we say, you know, people don't fail to plan. People plan. The people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan, right? So this is exactly what you're saying. Get your business plan in place. Start to get those numbers together. Do your laundry list, right? Your food shopping list. And then have your own assets just kind of on the side. And I don't think business owners think of that, Ty, because I think they're thinking about what do I need to do my business to make money? You know,
I agree. I completely agree. I think that that's exactly it. As entrepreneurs, we're extremely scrappy. And what we're really good at is looking and finding any resource that we have available, right? Mm-hmm. And then like using those resources to build a business. Like we would, if you put entrepreneurs on Survivor, we would crush it every single time, right? Because it's just, it's like how our minds think. We're like, okay, we're in a really hairy situation. And then all of a sudden, like we build like we would build like 3-story fortress hut out of trees. And people be like, how did you do that? And be like, we're entrepreneurs. This is what we do. So that's what happens. We're scrappy. We're like, I want to start a business. I have an idea. Boom, immediately what resources are available to me? How can we pull the resources to execute? It's how we think. But the problem is that improper planning, that not measuring twice and cutting once means that we make a lot of mistakes. And the statistics on this show that business owners fail because number one, they don't have access to the money they need. And number two, they make a lot of mistakes. Actually, it's reversed. The statistics show the number one reason is that we don't know what we're doing at any given time. That's why we like being entrepreneurs. We like the challenge of being in new environments that we don't know what's going on and trying to make things work and learning our way out of situations. But the problem is it's who we are. But then the second biggest reason we fail is because we don't have the capital to make the mistakes. So we're making these mistakes without the capital to carry us over when we do. And we're not all Twitter. I mean, Twitter can go, the studies show 412 years where they're currently losing money and still not have money, not run out. We can't do that as entrepreneurs. We run out quick. So we have to financially prepare because all the statistics show that 9 out of 10 business owners that don't do that fail because they run out of capital and then they don't have anywhere else to go. So I'm giving you a strategy that helps people succeed.
Yeah. And again, I don't think we think of it. So it's the old saying of, I don't know what I don't know. It's a blind spot. And that's why I really was excited that you agreed to be on the show again. This is such an important topic. Yes, for small businesses, but for larger businesses as well, to understand what is the proper way to leverage and set things up. So I was excited that you were happy to come on again. Now, you mentioned this before. I just want to kind of peel back for a second. How fast can a business build the credit? You kind of alluded to this, but if you can kind of talk about that.
Well, it's very quick. You know, with consumer credit, you have to have credit reporting to the consumer reporting agencies for 6 months before FICO will even give you a consumer credit score. So you're 6 months to start a credit profile in the consumer world. In the business world, when you get accounts like Uline and Quill, these type of vendors that report to the business reporting agencies, they report in 30 to 90 days. Some report quarterly, some report monthly. And when those start to report monthly, then you immediately have a credit profile and score a month into the process. And then once that's established, you start getting store credit, the Staples, the Home Depot, the Amazon. So you're moving to that retail credit tier in 60 days. And then you're moving to the final tier, the next step after that of getting Visa cards and MasterCards and auto vehicle financing. And that takes about 4 to 6 months to get to the top tier that you can get to in business credit. Now, from that point, just like normal credit, you just continue to use it. You pay the bill and you apply for more and the limits get higher. And the more you use it, the more you get. It's never ending. But you can start to get even to the auto vehicle financing, Visa card, MasterCard in 4 to 6 months in the business world. So it's very fast to do. And it's fast because the scores are based on how you pay. So once we get accounts that report, you pay them as agreed, that gives you the good score. With the good score, you use that as a springboard to bounce off of and start getting all the other credit.
Which is similar to how the consumer credit works. So they're definitely, we should all understand, everybody should understand their own credit report to begin with.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an important
the problem with consumer credit is that FICO has decided that things like the mix of credit you have matters. Well, that's a problem because if you don't have a mortgage, if you don't have a car loan, your mix aspect of your score isn't good. Well, it takes you years to ever be able to have the credit to be able to get a mortgage or a car loan. Your credit's based on how long you've had credit for. You can't control that, right? I mean, as old as you are is as long as you've had credit for. So sure. The older you get, it's the system's designed for the credit to get better, but it takes you longer to get it. If you really look at the five components of the consumer FICO score, it's crazy. It's like it's designed to take you a long time to get good credit, and then it's designed to sabotage you when you try to fix one of the five aspects. So a simple example is if credit mix is the aspect of your score and you know you need a mortgage or a car loan, well, then you go get a mortgage or a car loan and you improve that aspect of the score. But you have new inquiries and that lowered another part of your score, and that affects your utilization because your loan amount is now what you borrowed. So you owe what the original loan amount was. So this is the way FICO is. You try to fix one aspect of consumer FICO, you damage another. You try to fix that, you damage another. But with business, it's really simple. How do you pay your bills? All you have to do to get a good score is pay your bills is agreed. So because it's based on this common sense theory that people that pay their bills are more likely to pay future bills, I know,
right.
Mind blown, right? Concept, then it just makes it simple for business owners. And this system has worked since 1841 when Dun & Bradstreet was first around, and it still works today. You rate businesses based on how they pay.
Yeah, simple, stupid works every time. Now, I have a question. Let's say I'm a business owner and I'm an attorney and I want to buy the building that I'm leasing my space and I want to buy the building. I've only been in business for a year. Isn't it really, really hard just because I'm in the banking industry? And they usually say you have to be in business for 2 years. Like that's the magic number to be able to get commercial loans and that kind of thing. Well, what you're describing, can that fast track that, or is like that 2 year the sweet spot for a loan?
You know what I mean? Sure. Look, the reason 2 years and 3 years are the sweet spot as loans is for this. The real underlying reason is that if you look at business failure statistics, the failure rate of businesses the first 2 years is pretty much a straight down drop. And then at 3 years, you start to taper off. And at 5 years, you really start to taper off for survival. I mean, if you make it past 5 years, like your chances of survival are like hundreds of percentages higher than if you like did it in the very beginning. And that math might not be right, but we'll just act like that math makes sense. That works for me. So what happens is banks have figured this out. And by banks, I mean Chase, Bank of America, what I call conventional lenders, the big guys. So what they've said is we need 2 to 3 years of tax returns to consider you for a loan. So what they basically found is an indirect way to turn everybody away that's not been in business now 3 years. So we need 3 years tax returns. Well, who has 3 years tax returns? A business that's been open 3 years. So that's how they're really trying to rule them out because they know the risk is so high. And look, you can't hold it against them. Banks deal with very conservative risks. They're government insured. They have to.
Absolutely.
They can't be in risky lending. And risky lending is startup lending for businesses the first 2 or 3 years. So that is part of the factor. Will building business credit help you? Absolutely, because business credit determines if you'll get approved, how much you'll get approved for, and the rates and terms you pay. It will help you make you more lendable, but you're still not going to walk into a bank a year down the road and get a loan. They're still going to make you have 2 or 3 years tax returns. It will increase your chance you can get a commercial real estate loan. You can go to a broker, and maybe not through SBA, but through an alternative lender, get commercial real estate financing. You don't need an SBA 504 loan to get it. If you want an SBA 504 loan, you need the 2 or 3 years in business. But there's other alternatives that brokers can help you with if you've been in business less than 2 or 3 years to make it work. But the lenders are going to want to see some financial data, P&Ls, balance sheets that show you have the financial ability to pay back the debt, which is a primary concern no matter how you borrow.
Yeah, and that makes total sense. But the credit piece of it can absolutely help with the rate, the term, all of those things when you will eventually qualify.
Sure.
Because you'll have the tax returns and all of that. So that is a good thing.
It's the same thing as a consumer. If you think about it, like, you know, if you go in to get a mortgage, you can't get a mortgage if you can't verify your income. And like, if you can't do these other things, but credit's still part of that equation. If your credit's horrible, well, you couldn't get the loan to begin with. Right. If the credit's good, the credit alone won't get you the loan, but it's definitely going to help you get the loan if the other factors add up. It's the exact same thing in the business world. The credit's going to determine, well, it could get you denied. It might not get you as much. It's going to get you a worse or better rate, but it alone won't be used to qualify for loans, but it is a major driving factor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it all adds up. It all matters. I know people are thinking, do those business credit cards, even though they're under my tax ID number for the business, can it impact my personal credit, or truly they are separate?
Well, it depends. You know, there's companies like Capital One out there that that offer credit cards that report to both consumer and business credit reporting agencies. And you have to be really careful of those. Very few far in between. They're the only one that I know of that is for subprime borrowers that works that way. But a lot of the major ones may report. If you go to your bank, you may get a credit card that reports to the consumer and business, or just consumer or just business. So you really have to be aware. The first indicator is if you're giving a social or not. If you're not giving a social security number, well, then you're in most cases fairly safe of it not reporting on your personal credit. But this year, the government just rolled out a new regulation that for money laundering purposes, they've got to get your date of birth and social to verify the application, major banks. So if you're getting a credit card like Staples that's backed by Citi and it's backed by a major bank, they may ask for your social. So in that case, you have to tell them clearly you're not giving the authority for a personal credit check. You're not giving the authority for a personal guarantee. Then you're forcing them to make the lending decision based on business credit quality. Now, you and I talked about how to do that before on the last show, Connie. So your listeners have to go back to listen to make sure they have enough credit to do that. But if they have enough credit established, then they can apply, leave the social off, or tell them they're not giving the authority and be okay. Another piece of advice I give is ask the credit issuer. I got an application from PNC Bank the other day. It was an interesting card. And I called him and said, who do you report to? And he said, we pull Experian Consumer to make the decision, and we report to Experian and Dun & Bradstreet Commercial. And I said, okay. He gave a very good answer. He knew what he was talking about. Sometimes you call and they don't seem to know, and you call 2, 3, 4 times and go with the majority answer. But I ask them always, who do you report to, before I even think of applying for any kind of credit card if I don't already know?
And see, that is a really good tip, because I think people, you're filling out the application, we're asking for money, we're asking for credit. I gotta give it to them. They need to know this. So that would be the logical thinking of someone. So that's really an interesting tip. I would never think to say, yo, you know, who are you reporting this to? And oh, by the way, like with the Staples one, I don't want you reporting on my consumer side. Who would even think that we'd be able to do that? So that's really a good tip.
Right. Well, the first part of that is the reason that they rely on, you know, they gate business credit, right? Like, you don't go into Target or Walmart and ever be offered a commercial credit card, because they rely on our ignorance that we're going to give the social and the guarantee because we don't know better, because we're not educated. They rely on that. And so they just keep this hush hush, and they rely on the financial savvy people knowing it and the rest of us not. And so that's what, you know, your podcast and things like that change that general education and help. When it comes to asking the question, another question you should always ask every 6 months, consumer and business, is, hey, can you raise my limit? I mean, look, 30% of your consumer credit score is utilization. Why not ask to have those limits increased? On the business side, every 6 months I ask, and everybody besides Capital One, because I refuse to use it because it reports to consumer credit, raises my limit. American Express is like a game now. Last time I asked them to double my limit, and they did. So now I'm trying to find the number where they'll tell me no, and I haven't hit it yet. So every 6 months, if you're using this credit, go in, and what I ask them is, I say, look, I'm interested in getting a limit increase, but I'm only interested if you're not going to pull my personal credit. And sometimes they do, and they will, and they'll say, yeah, we're going to pull personal credit. I say, okay, I'm not interested. Thank you very much. Because I don't need you to raise my limit $5,000 and cost me an inquiry. I can use an inquiry to get another $30,000. So I'm not going to use my inquiry on you to get five, right? So I save those inquiries. But if they say, oh, we're going to base it on performance, we don't need to look at your credit, then I, okay, let's do it. I want you to look. Always do that every 6 months. It helps your consumer credit scores because 30% is those limits. And it helps you business because, you know, to have an extra 10, 15, 30,000 every 6 months available is a pretty big deal to us.
It absolutely is. We're out of time, but two great tips right at the end. Do you have any last minute things that you would like to say to just, again, I like how you said that the podcast, that people don't know what they don't know, and we're really here, and I really do take the show seriously from the perspective of how can we educate people so that we remove blind spots. That's what I really hope I always do. Is there anything else that you would like to share that maybe would help business owners?
Something I just came up with. There's two things in life that they say are guaranteed, which is death and taxes. In business, there are two things that are guaranteed. It will always cost you more money to do what you think you're trying to do, and it will always take you substantially longer to do whatever you think it is you're trying to do. So you need to face those two realities, and anybody that sees it in business goes, oh, their head like is about to come off because they're nodding. Like, oh, yeah, it costs more, it takes longer. Okay. But when you're in a startup phase, you're in serious jeopardy if you don't have access to capital and you learn that lesson the hard way. So don't learn the lesson the hard way. Rule number one, get access to money before you need it. You're going to need it. It's a guarantee. So if you wait till you need it, here's when this whole adage that lenders don't want to lend to you when you need money. No, they don't want to lend to you when you're desperate.
That's right.
You know, and so that's what it comes down to. When your credit cards are maxed out and you have no money, you're desperate. They see that. They don't want to touch you. But when you're coming in a applying and you got plenty of available credit and everything's good, then they know you're being proactive and they want to lend to those people. So get revolving credit before you need it. It will save you when the unexpected happens, which it will inevitably happen.
Yeah, Murphy's Law is alive, right? Isn't that the
very
truth?
True.
Very true. You're right. So guys, if you want more information, I really think you have to go to Ty's website. So it's www, and then it's creditsuite.com. So it's creditsuite.com. You have a ton of information on your website, and when I went on your website, why do I think I signed up for something? Because I get like emails from you with just informational kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
If they go to creditsuite.com/EIN, there's a great guide that maps out the exact steps to build business credit. That's at creditsuite.com/EIN. We'll send you some emails with information on business credit financing. You don't want them, unsubscribe, don't want them. But all our education is about, here's how your credit score works. Here's how to control the credit score to get the best rate. Here's 20 kinds of loans you probably don't know exist, and here's exactly how to get them. So it's just all actionable information about getting credit financing. And the top right of our page, creditsuite.com, we have hundreds of videos on YouTube. We go live on YouTube and Facebook every week. We have a podcast. And so there's all kinds of ways that you can get real actionable information to help you with both getting business credit and getting financing, including loans and credit lines.
Yeah, I really did like your website because I didn't know where to look the first time I went on because I'm like, oh, that's good information. Oh, my God, that's good information. So really, really, your website is extremely user-friendly, but extremely information-based, which I think anybody who owns a business, whether you're a newbie or a seasoned business owner, you need to check out creditsuite.com. It's definitely worth the visit and definitely worth subscribing. I read your emails and your little tips that you send after you subscribe, so I do highly recommend it. Thank you so much again for being an amazing guest filled with information and education. I just can't thank you enough. I appreciate it. This is an important topic that people need to know.
Oh, thanks, Connie. It's been an honor. You honestly are one of the best hosts I've ever worked with. So I really appreciate it. And I think we've got a lot of actionable info for your listeners. So it's been an honor. Thank you.
Back at you. I do appreciate it. Always, always a pleasure. I love your energy. I love your sense of humor. We have to have fun while we're doing all of this, right?
Very true. Very
Absolutely.
True.
Absolutely. Thank you again. And I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves and embrace change. We just gave you so much information that you can utilize effective immediately to help change your business or leverage your business to get it to scale to the next level. Thank you again, Ty. Thank you guys for joining us this week. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Everyone have a wonderful, inspiring week, and do something smart with your credit on your business and even on your personal, because Ty, you gave some great examples on the personal side as well. So thank you so much. Thanks, everybody.